Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Warning. Pastor Scheidbach is not politically correct, and even more shocking, he is a Christian who uses the word God and prays in Jesus' name in public. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. Holocaust Remembrance Day and assessing what's going on with the continuing threats against Israel today. North Korea threat update, what's happening on our college campuses, and will California go single payer? Yeah, which of course would take us to an update on the repeal and replace effort. Will Trump release the secret JFK assassination investigation files? Huh. And we note, there's no evidence of any Russia-Trump collusion during the election after all. And, also, by the way, no evidence of any serious pursuit of Obama's involvement using the power of government to spy on private citizens. So I guess the ploy worked. Keep attention on some bogus claim until interest in what really happened fades away. And they did it again, didn't they? Anybody disappointed in Trump yet? It doesn't really look like his support base is going to abandon him anytime soon, and I think that's a good thing. As I suspected, the more the MSM piles on, the deeper his base digs in their heels. Cruz, by the way, has a pretty good idea for funding the wall. Use the money confiscated from these drug cartels. Oh yeah, great idea. Some billions of dollars available right there. And my friends, it's Friday, April the 28th, my dove's birthday. So, I've got to get this show in the can. As I say, quickly, we've got plans. Happy birthday, Dove. Why do I call her Dove? Some ask. We enjoy visiting zoos. My wife is a major animal lover. And once we walked into, I think it was one of the smaller zoos, and it might have been Santa Barbara, and they had an exhibit of doves a few hundred feet within the entrance. I was strangely attracted to the cooing coming from the exhibit. Rarely do we separate at any event like this. But in this case, for whatever reason, she was busy looking at some creature that interested her. But I kept being drawn to the dove exhibit. So I walked over to that exhibit, stood there admiring the creature. And I kept asking myself, what is familiar about this? And it suddenly dawned on me that the calming effect of the dove's cooing reminded me of how Becky makes me feel. Oh, yeah, I turned to find her, and there she was. And from that day forward, I have called her my dove. My friends, it is time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic. A gourmet meal for the mind.
Holocaust Remembrance Day, assessing the ongoing threats against Israel today. Trump spoke at Holocaust Memorial Museum in Washington last Tuesday. He said, quote, "This is my pledge to you. We will confront anti-Semitism. Those who deny the Holocaust are an accomplice to this horrible evil." Well, that's quite a statement. He went on, "Even today, there are those who want to forget the past. There are those who are filled with such hate, total hate," end quote. He went on, quote, "We must never, ever shrink away from telling the truth in our time," end quote. And, quote, "We'll never be silent. We just won't. We will never be silent in the face of evil again," end quote. He said, quote, "I will always stand with the Jewish people, and I will always stand with our great friend and partner, the State of Israel," end quote. And then this, quote, "We will bear witness and we will act," end quote. He pledged to, quote, "stamp out prejudice," end quote. Now, that's a tall order. I don't think my audience needs to be convinced the Holocaust happened. Earlier, the Trump White House made statements a bit disconcerting to some Jews regarding the Holocaust. In a statement coming from the White House condemning the Holocaust, he didn't specifically mention the Jews, but attempted to bring attention to the fact that there were others who were targeted by the Nazis, including Christians. 42% of all victims of the Holocaust were Jews. A very small percentage, 1% each, were disabled, and another category called other, which would include the homosexuals and things like that. Very little is ever said about the disabled who were murdered, but, quite a lot is made of the few homosexuals that were killed. Ironic, isn't it, since we know that the SS was rife with homosexuality. Anyway, I'm glad Trump decided to recognize that there were others who were victimized in the Holocaust, and our Jewish friends ought not to begrudge it. Fact is, I think it's important to understand, the Holocaust is not only a Jewish problem. It's humanity's problem. It touches all of us. Nevertheless, it cannot be denied and should not be denied that the primary focus of Hitler in what is now known as what he called the final solution was the extermination of the Jewish people, and that the spirit of Antichrist operating upon the children of disobedience in Germany at that time and today certainly has a peculiar hatred for Jews. So let's take a look at this. First, is it true, as Trump says, that those who deny the Holocaust are accomplices in the horrible evil it represents? Or I should say that it documents. Now, it might surprise you, but this actually is a biblical principle. Bible thump alert! Bible thump alert! All godless professors at Berkeley, beware. I'm about to quote for the Bible on public airwaves. Ha! Censor that, you Berkeley free speech deniers! Hebrews 6:4-6, quote, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame," end quote. I know that probably 60% or more of my audience are Christians, whose theology is fairly conservative. My doctorate is in theological studies, so bear with me a little as I clarify some things about this passage before I bring the applicable principle found here to bear upon my topic. Those who use this passage to say it is possible for someone who has received Christ as Savior for them subsequently to lose their salvation, well, they miss an important point. The passage in that case would be saying that, well, it's impossible to renew them again to repentance. Now, the passage does not teach one may lose salvation, but if it did, it would be saying that once lost, always lost, which is the exact reverse of what the Bible actually teaches, which is once saved, always saved. So you can no more be unbirthed to God than you can be unbirthed to your parents, but that's as far as I'm going to take the point here. For a complete study on this issue, call and let us know you want my document titled What the Bible Says About Eternal Security, bylined. It's a biblical, not a Calvinist doctrine, by the way. And we'll send it to you for the cost of shipping, or if you get it online, we can just send it to you free, give you a PDF. What I want you to notice in this passage for my purpose here is this. It is possible to crucify Christ today. Yeah. Those described in this passage are said to have crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh. All right, it describes a denial of all the evidence God has put before them proving that Jesus is the Christ. And within this passage, the evidence is so compelling, they could see it, they could taste it, they could even experience some measure of it. And the evidence was so compelling that for them to reject it made them effectively accomplices in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, or in fact, God considers this act to be equivalent to crucifying Jesus, God's Son, today. So there's some support for Trump's claim here. Those who deny the Holocaust do so in contradiction against overwhelming evidence. The documentation of this atrocity is so clear. I mean, it goes like way past climate change hoaxology. I mean, the idea that climate change is man-made and that it is not part of a macro-environmental cycle, but rather something caused by humans breathing carbon dioxide. You know, you're a carbon emitter? Yeah. But if you question the proven-to-have-been-fudged science supporting the alarming fear-mongering coming from the climate change advocates, you know, such as that brilliant and profound thinker Al Gore, who couldn't recognize a bust of George Washington when he looked at it. And I think it was Washington. It might have been Franklin or one of the other prominent founders. But anyway, they say if you deny climate change claims, you're responsible for destroying the planet even before it happens. But if you deny the Holocaust, that's no problem. Even though we know it did happen. Climate change deniers are vilified. There has even been talk of making it a crime to deny the climate change theory. Yeah. But Holocaust deniers? Well, we've got to protect that. And I don't think it should be a crime to deny the Holocaust or to have arguments with this business about climate change. But I do believe such persons as deny the Holocaust are accessories and in harmony with the spirit responsible for it. Holocaust deniers are always anti-Semites, have you noticed, who talk about pushing Israel off into the sea, exterminating Israel and hating Jews and blaming them for every toothache and cursing them every time they stub their toes. Am I exaggerating? Well, maybe. But not much. Palestinian children are aggressively taught to hate Jews and to kill them. Netanyahu recently tweeted about a video showing Palestinian parents encouraging their children to kill the Jews. I mean, they're taught practically from the crib to hate and to kill Jews. Their leaders have made repeated statements describing terrorist acts against Jews as heroism. You know, so their parents teach them to hate the Jews and to kill them, and then their leaders encourage that. Here's a little Palestinian girl. Can't be more than 8 years old. I mean, this kid's not even old enough to marry Muhammad. Huh. She's asked what advice she has for her fellow Palestinians in their struggle against the Jew. And smiling sweetly as only a little 8-year-old pretty little girl might, while slashing a knife through the air, she repeats, stab, 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 stab. It's incitement to commit acts of terrorism, which is a violation of international law, by the way. The point here is that the spirit of the Holocaust lives on. It beats in the hearts of the anti-Semitics, Arabs especially, who refuse to allow any place on the earth for the Jews. Not every Arab, but those of this ilk. Well, I've got news for them. They will inherit the earth. The son of David will return. David was Jewish, by the way. And all who have said, quote, they will not have this man to reign over this, over us, they're going to be destroyed. The wrath of the king is coming. And the king that's coming was born of David, a Jew. Yeah, son of man, son of God. Don't think for a moment, my friends, that the spirit of the Holocaust has vacated Germany entirely. Germany's foreign minister recently met with an openly anti-Semite NGO, non-government organization, and did so over the protests of Netanyahu. I mean, this guy is known to be a liberal, a real lefty, you know. What's with modern liberalism, anyway? Have you noticed that the new home of anti-Semitism is liberalism? Have you noticed that the Nazi-like fascism that we saw in Germany and in Italy under Mussolini, it's home today in liberalism? Hatred for free speech? Lovers of genocide? Certainly killing off all the babies they can. Friends of dictators, haters of Christians and Jews. Yeah, their home is in the liberal camp today. Of course, there are idiots in every group. Don't make me go into a technical etymology of the word idiot just to show that I'm not just simply calling names. I'm being characteristically precise in my use of words. But there are certainly idots, as my beloved Dove would say, in every group. But I don't think it's difficult to see that the new home of evil is in the DNC. And yet, many among the Democrats, one professor there, I think at Berkeley, claims that the GOP is more dangerous than Hitler. Hold on. Through the break, my friends, I'll be right back.
The science of a brain massage. The brain masseur uses words like fingers to massage your gray matter, forming insights in the mind that stimulate the pituitary to signal the adrenal, to release noneparepherine neurotransmitters, and to fire these neurons through the sympathetic nervous system affecting the heart. The skilled brain masseur uses incisive logic to arrest our attention and nuanced razor-sharp rhetoric to cut away the tangled knots in our brains. When these knots are removed, the electrical impulse of stimulating insights fire the neurotransmitters so they can leap the synapse gaps. This generates a sparkling effect in the brain that can cause the countenance of a brain massage listener to glow. Additionally, sudden outbursts of energy caused by the release of glucose throughout the body increases the heart rate, while the pituitary gland in the brain releases all five types of dopamine at once. And this creates that sense of euphoria experienced by many brain massage listeners. And that's the science of a brain massage. Satan is called the dragon and prince of the power of the air. The devil beware. Pastor Scheinbach is on the air, swinging the sword of truth at the dragons of deceit, thrusting the blade of incisive insight into the belly of liberal lies, lies that blind men's mind in darkness. He wants to know if you have his back. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com for an archive of great brain massage shows that you can download and distribute to others free of charge. If you want to give us a gift to help with broadcasting costs, go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and click on the donate button, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. Love him or hate him, the brain masseur is going to make you think. Encounter God. The word encounter means to meet, to experience, to come face to face, to confront. Many encounters are routine happenstances, but even these can have a major impact on our lives. I'm sure each of you listening to this can think of encounters that made a difference in your life. But the greatest life-changing encounter in any life will be those encounters with God that make a difference. Perhaps you've encountered God in the past, but it's been a while since you experienced God in a vital, meaningful encounter. Renew your experience of God with a fresh encounter this year that will impact your life for spiritual growth. Perhaps you've never experienced God, and He doesn't seem real to you. You can encounter God, and when you do, your life will take on new meaning and purpose, and you'll know that God is real. Lighthouse Baptist Church, 1310 West Bedarabia Road, Santa Maria. Go to santamarialighthouse.org. To say the Brain Massage Show is thought-provoking is like saying the hydrogen bomb makes a lot of noise. Both true and both way understated. Stay tuned. Your brain is about to get a massage.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps of the church belfry arch, singling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. North Korea threat update. Trump recently said a military conflict with North Korea is possible. Quote, there is a chance that we could end up having a major, major conflict with North Korea. Absolutely, end quote. He also said, quote, we'd love to solve things diplomatically, but it's very difficult, end quote. Looks like most folk in America think military action against North Korea is necessary. The country is getting weary and ready. Here's a poll of registered voters from Fox News that puts 53% in favor of military force to keep Kim Il-un from developing an ICBM that would be able to carry a nuclear warhead to American soil. I understand they're targeting Hawaii. Yeah. Meanwhile, North Korea is preparing for war, and the U.S. carrier force Carl Vinson is, quote, within striking distance of North Korea, end quote. According to one of Trump's favorite news sources, anyway, The Inquirer, Kim Il-un has threatened to attack the carrier group. So it's still pretty hot in the Sea of Japan, near enough the Korean Straits to be a target, and also to make Pyongyang a target. Yo, Un, give up your pretentious God game and set the people of North Korea free. What's happening on our college campuses? This from The Hill. Buckley said in 1959, quote, liberals do a great deal of talking about hearing other points of view. It sometimes shocks them to learn there are other points of view, end quote. That's perfect. And so I'm going to read some from this article. At DePaul University, Milo Yiannopoulos and Ben Shapiro were banned due to inflammatory speech and safety concerns. The administration of that school even threatened to arrest Shapiro if he set foot on campus again. Kellogg Community College, three students representing Young Americans for Liberty, were arrested. Listen, arrested for handing out pocket constitutions in a public space on campus. Yeah. At UC Irvine, a pro-Palestinian group attempted to violently shut down an event sponsored by students supporting Israel. With the election of Donald Trump, protesters have taken their opposition to an unprecedented level. Petitioning, disruptions, and general harassment were common tactics at first, but now that arsenal has expanded to include rioting, looting, lobbing Molotov cocktails at police officers. Yeah. Still reading from this article from The Hill. Only a few hours ago, protesters at New York University disrupted a speech by conservative comedian Gavin McInnes. 11 people were arrested. UC Berkeley was once home to the free speech movement, promoted by liberal students who believed that open dialogue and discussion of political ideas on campus would form a stronger academic climate, right? After what happened Wednesday night when Berkeley canceled an appearance by Breitbart News editor Milo Yiannopoulos, it is now impossible to describe Berkeley as a place of open dialogue. Yeah, how about that? The First Amendment protects freedoms of speech, religion, press, and assembly, but many now seem to believe that it does not include anything they deem offensive. I mean, and the article goes on, despite the lack of a hate speech clause, students and administrators will claim that hate speech is not protected and that those partaking in it can be punished. You know, though they claim this is to protect marginalized communities and individual feelings, they instead marginalize conservatives for any speech in which they individually disagree with, often through harassment and violence. And get this, again, from the same article. On one campus, the word ugly and the expression you guys and the expression crazy were labeled as offensive terms which students should avoid. On another, the word American was considered problematic. I mean, you can't even display a crucifix on these campuses. It seems that nothing is safe from this sort of censorship. And of course, if conservative students were to follow suit and label disagreeable ideas as hate speech, the outcry would be unbelievable. The only speech which constitutes an exception to the rule is, as the Supreme Court ruled, that which creates a clear and present danger to life, liberty, or property. A mere disagreement does not fall into any of those categories. And for some of these students to react in a way that brings threat to damage and property in as a ploy to use the Supreme Court's decision to oppress free speech, that's got to stop. Those kids need to be arrested and put in jail. Anyway, back to the article. That wasn't in the article, by the way. A key focus of conservatism among students has been support of free speech despite what that speech entails. And that's both sides of it, by the way. The purpose of protecting all speech ensures that when you have an unpopular opinion, you're not silenced. The conservative students on these campuses, they're all for open and free speech and dialogue. They don't come out, they don't destroy property when a liberal gets to speak. And so back to our article here. Conservative and libertarian students can never budge on their acceptance of all speech because allowing any group of individuals to choose what is acceptable is a loss of civil liberties for all. Liberal students should join their pursuit for free speech because if Trump is a fascist, as they often claim, well, they should be the first to tolerate and allow all speech. I mean, in response to the riots at UC Berkeley, President Trump questioned on Twitter Thursday morning if the school should continue to receive federal funding. And then again on Friday, he took aim at, quote, professional anarchists, thugs, and paid protesters, end quote. And that's what's going on, my friend. In him, we can expect an ally in demanding free speech on campus. Okay, so that from this very excellent article posted in The Hill. There are reports, my friends, that communist groups are instigating the campus riots. There's evidence supporting the concern that there is something of a conspiracy afoot to ignite a nationwide uprising against Trump in particular, the GOP generally, all across the country. The left feels singularly threatened today. The Trump election has got them reacting like crazy people, and it's actually getting a little scary. One professor is telling his students that the GOP is, listen, quote, the most dangerous organization in world history, end quote. Hyperbole? No. This guy actually believes this. This is what he's telling his students. So Coulter was a no-show at Berkeley. I guess there is more bark than bite in the feisty conservative sort of provocateur. So here's the question. Do universities have a responsibility to allow free speech? Well, of course, it's a human right acknowledged in the First Amendment of our Constitution. But does that mean they have an obligation to allow someone to formally or officially use their college as a platform for their message? You know, actually, that is something like the horse of another color in Oz. If the college is public, that is publicly funded and so on, if the school allows one point of view to be expressed while selectively discriminating against other points of view, well, that's a problem. But wait a minute, that goes all the time. In fact, that's officially sanctioned. Under the sanction of law, by the way. Get this, using the very right acknowledged in the Constitution, protecting religious liberty, our government, under the unscrupulous leadership of an activist court, has contrived over the years to make it contrary to law to teach any view of origins, for example, one of several I could bring out, that is not consistent with the religion of evolution. Indeed, there is more science supporting creation than supports evolution. Evolution is more faith-based than creationism. Evolution is a pagan superstition, but because it eliminates God, the Christian God particularly, it can be called secular. So, you know the drill on this. Nevertheless, it's true that a private university has all the rights and privileges of any private entity. You know, so a church, college, or a secular college should have the prerogative to be selective in who uses their platform to disseminate their message. A public school, however, and certainly one that boasts diversity, like Berkeley, and openness to other points of view and all that? What do you think? If a college allows speakers to come in at the request of a certain group of students to represent a certain point of view, how can that same school deny to another group of students the right to have their speaker come to represent their point of view? So the verdict? It's censorship, plain and simple. It's the suppression of political speech. It's a clear violation of the inalienable right to free speech, and our conservative students on these campuses must not back down. Listen, two points to make here. I know what's going on. This radicalized left, they're destroying property and threatening lives, and they're doing things like that, which allows these colleges to say, well, this constitutes a threat to safety. This constitutes a threat to property. And the Supreme Court said that, you know, right? Listen to what's going on. Listen, these kids are manipulating the law again to use it to shut down the free speech of others, to take away our rights and our liberties. They should be arrested and put in jail. It's the same thing repeated in this country over to the liberals at Berkeley. By the way, back in the 60s, beat down the barriers put in place then against communists who wanted to spew their perverted notions into the minds of our students on college campuses. And they raised all sorts of raucous, that is, the kids did, to make their point for free speech, right? Using the Constitution to do it, by the way. So conservatives at that time backed down and recognized their right to believe and preach their doctrines, even though they were contrary to traditional American values and beliefs. Now, that they own the schools, and I mean virtually, they are rebuilding the walls against free speech that they worked to tear down. Can you believe this? And they're using the Constitution to do it. We give them freedom to speak, and they use it to take away our freedom to speak. This must stop. Our conservative students in these schools must forge forward. They must stand up to these bullies. The liberals bullied their way into our schools in the first place with property-destroying riots and threats and so on, right? And now we open the doors to them. They want to shut us out and lock the door. So we must set our battering rams against these doors of bigotry and break down their effort to take away our rights. Well, anyway, but we shouldn't stoop to their tactics. Okay, my dear friends, the dove is waiting for me to begin our day. Together celebrating her birthday, I must adieu. So au revoir, or better, how's that go? A la prochaine, or a biento. Anyway, I'm trying to say I'll see you later. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch, and now you let me know you see that they are on. Call 1-888-770-8000. That's 1-888-770-8000. Leave a message for me on listener response hotline. I really appreciate those of you who call. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And again, if you want to talk to me, let me know, and I'll call you back. I don't call back all who call because they don't necessarily want me to. Okay? But if you do want me to, then please let me know, and I'm glad to call you back. And go to our website at brainmassage.net. That is brainmassage.net. And you can write an email to me there. If you'll see a place there to make a donation. We do need your support to continue airing the show on the radio. If you want it to stay on the radio, then you need to help us with some funding. We need you to give us a donation. So go to the website, click on donate, and make a donation today. If you're in a hurry when you call, you can just say lights on, lights off, and hang up. But if you will, please leave a message for me. I'd love to hear from my audience. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
Satan is called the dragon and prince of the power of the air. The devil beware. Pastor Scheinbach is on the air, swinging the sword of truth at the dragons of deceit, thrusting the blade of incisive insight into the belly of liberal lies, lies that blind men's mind in darkness. He wants to know if you have his back. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. For a complete brain massage experience, tune in Saturday at 12 noon.